Jesus can save us. Only Jesus can save us. We're looking at Luke chapter number 19 and 10 as our text says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, in that particular verse, we see two objectives outlined by Jesus. The first one is to seek, and the second one is to save. The first one is to seek, the second one is save. The focus is the same for both. It's the lost. Jesus is seeking the lost, and Jesus is saving the lost. Now, on last week, we focused primarily on the seeking work of Jesus. If you look in Genesis chapter number 3, 8 through 10. Genesis chapter number 3, 8 through 10. Now, this particular verse makes reference to when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, this is when Jesus began his mission for the fulfillment of Luke 19 and 10. When the scripture says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, you need to know, when did this start? This started in Genesis chapter number 3, verses number 8 through 10. Something happened. Remember, before Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, everything was the way Jesus desired for it to be. And the scripture says that after he had finished his creative work, he rested. He rested from all of his labor. He rested. And when Adam and Eve ate of that forbidden fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Jesus told them, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt do what? That's right. That's right. Now, we know Adam and Eve didn't die a physical death, because that would have frustrated the creative work of Jesus. He had already given the objective for why he had put the man on the earth when he said, I made you to replenish it. To replenish it, be fruitful and do what? Multiply. To replenish the earth. So if Adam and Eve's death would have just brought an end to that, that would have frustrated all of the Lord's work. Prior to him creating them. But what did they die? We notice that after they ate that fruit, they kept on breathing. After they ate that fruit, they kept on moving. But something changed inside of them. The scripture says that they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to try to cover up their nakedness. And somebody in Genesis 3 already?
Yes.
Go over to chapter 2 in Genesis 2 and verse number 23 through 25 first.
And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone.
Yes.
She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. There shall be one flesh. And they were both naked.
The who?
The man and his wife were not.
Everybody see that? In verse number 25, they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. But when you go over to chapter number 3, after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, 3 and verse number 5. What does 3 and 5 say?
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof.
This is Satan talking to them.
Then your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Now, one thing we can learn, about Satan as it is revealed here, Satan gives partial truth. Satan gives partial truth. Notice what he said to them. Read that verse once again.
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened,
mm-hmm.
and ye shall be as God,
mm-hmm.
knowing good and evil.
That's true. Now, we notice Satan labeled a thought of himself as being equal with God. That's what caused his problem in the beginning. But Satan had a knowledge that was shared with God that Adam and Eve did not have. What knowledge was that? Satan knew both good and evil. Look, Satan knew what it was like to be good. But now, because of his transgression, because of his fall, he knew evil also. Who also knew the difference between good and evil? Jesus. That's why he told Adam and Eve not to eat from that tree. That tree was going to bring a what? A knowledge of both what? Good Now remember, the creation was only designed to know good. Everybody understand that? The creation was only designed to know good. That's why Jesus told them not to eat of that fruit. All right? And people say, well, why would the Lord create the tree? Well, if he did not create that tree, we would have been forced to do his will. Everybody ever thought about that? We would have been forced. There would not have been a choice that could be made. When he created that tree, he gave man the opportunity to choose to do his will. Doesn't force his will on nobody. We have become thinking that we're equal with God because we have the freedom of choice. But with choice or with these selections of thoughts that we have come consequences. That's the difference. That's what separates us from Jesus in that respect, because we can't judge Jesus. Jesus is the judge. He determines where we're going to spend eternity at. But we do have the freedom to choose whether we're going to serve Jesus or not serve Jesus. And it's the same concept that Jesus presented Adam and Eve in the garden. He made every tree in the garden accessible to Adam and Eve. Not only the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but also the tree of life. Right? What did Adam and Eve choose? They chose a tree that would bring them death. Not a tree that would bring them life. A tree that would bring them death. Now, that's why when you read this passage coming from Satan, we have to understand how slick he is. He will give you partial truth. He will give you partial truth because the scripture says God doth know the day that you eat thereof. Your eyes will be open and you'll be as gods, knowing what? Knowing good and evil. Now, just listening to Satan appealed to Adam and Eve's flesh, the lesser part of them. Now, prior to talking to Satan, they were able to experience an exalted life, a life of pureness, a life of righteousness, a life where there was no doubt. But just talking to Satan brought something inside of them alive that was not there. Right? If you look at verse number 6, you see what happens when you talk to people you shouldn't talk to. When you listen to things that you should not listen to, it stirs up something inside of you. You know how people used to say curiosity? It killed that cat. Well, it stirs up. Where you get that from is you got that from Adam and Eve. Them listening, them engaging with Satan. Look at what it did. Verse number 6.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food.
Yes. Is that unknown? That's known information. Every tree in the garden was good for food. Everybody understand that? That's known information. Jesus said every tree in the garden was good for food. All right, next one.
It says, and that it was pleasant to the eye.
Every tree in the garden was pleasant to the eye. Every tree looked good. Every tree looked good and every tree was good for food. But this tree, Jesus said, don't eat of it. Because he said, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt do what? You thank the Lord. When you heard the message of salvation, you had a mind to not want to die. It's just that simple. You had a mind to say, I believe Jesus have come that I can have life. And I do not want to die. There's not a desire in me for death. This is why I don't engage in certain things. I don't have a gun. I don't have a weapon. I don't have a shank. I don't have any of these things because that's all of these things represent death. I want nothing to do with death. Everybody understand that? I want nothing to do with death. Jesus came that I could do what? I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying life. People say, why do you go to the doctors? Because I'm enjoying life. When something come upon me that throws my body off, I'm there. Well, doctor, what is this? You studied all this time? What is it? I'm going to Jesus too now. Going to Jesus to touch that doctor's mind and figure out what's going on in my body. Because I want to live. If you don't want to live, don't go to the doctor. Don't go to, like my grandfather said, stop taking your pills if you don't want to. I'm going to be taking these pills till I die. He just said, my wife asked, said, Daddy, you got all these pills. How long you take these pills? He said, till the day I die. And it's the truth. You're going to, if you don't want to live, Stop taking your pills. Stop taking all your medicine. Don't go to the doctors. Don't do what they say. And just see how long you live. You might live a couple of years. I don't know. But you go to these people because you have a desire to do what? And it's not just you. The whole creation wants to live. Nobody wants to die. We take ourselves below the animals. But animals don't even want to die. They want to live. You watch them squirrels run across the street. They're trying to dodge them cars. Why? Because they want to live. Right? You watch them squirrels run away from them cats. Because the cats want to kill it. Right? But the squirrel wants to do what? It wants to live. You watch them mice run through your house. You got a cat or cat or got a dog. That mice don't want to get caught. That mice wants to live. You get a trap or something and you get on that trap, it starts to squeal. Because he knows you done caught me and you're going to kill me. But I want to do what? Now, we are the only creatures that don't value life. We're the only ones that do not value life. We try our best to test the limits to see how much we can get away with just living. When Jesus already told you, I'm come that you might have life. Now, why won't we run to Jesus? Because there's a part of us that does not want life. There's a part of us that wants to die, that craves death. Y'all understand that? It has an appetite for death. So when you have a mind to want to be saved, you thank Jesus you got a mind to want to suppress that no good thing that craves death. When Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, they put a desire to die inside of you. That's the truth. Come on. Keep moving.
It says here. It said, and a tree to be desired.
Yes.
To make one
wise. Yes.
He took of the fruit thereof.
Uh-huh.
And did eat and gave also to her husband.
Yes. Yep.
And he did eat.
Yep.
And the eyes
of them both were open.
And they knew that they were naked.
Huh?
And they saw
See that partial truth? Mm-hmm. Eyes of them both were open. Mm-hmm. Who told them their eyes was going to be open? Mm-hmm. That devil. The devil done told them that. Uh-huh. Huh?
Yeah.
And it happened. Right? Just like he had said. But what part did the devil leave off? What part didn't the devil emphasize? Is that part that Jesus said? Jesus said, the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. Huh? That's why Jesus pulled the covers off of Satan and told you his mission in John 10:10. Said, the thief cometh not but for to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He wants you to die. Satan is after you to kill you. He's not after you to be friendly with you. Even though he may smile in your face, he's got an appetite to kill you. Huh? Y'all understand that? This is what we were talking about on Friday night. When we find ourselves being attracted into groups that are not like Jesus, hanging around people that are not trying to live the way Jesus said to live, you need to ask yourself this question: what is the purpose of this stuff? What is the mission of these people that are constantly pulling on me and asking me to participate? What they're doing? What are they doing? Are they doing things that are about life? Huh? We say, we're not out there causing no trouble. We're not out there destroying anything. Well, what are you doing? We just like to walk around and sit and talk and laugh. But what are you doing? Huh? What activities are you engaging in that's going to help my soul live? Huh? He would say, I know you go to church all the time. Well, why don't you come with me? No, I don't got time for none of that. I don't believe in what you believe in, but you can come with me and we're going to do X, Y, and Z. Huh? And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself attracted to that stuff. And because you think there's no harm in it, because you're not out there fighting, you're not out there destroying anything, and you're just talking about this and talking about that and laughing about this and laughing about that, but that stuff is not helping you live. Everybody understand that? That's the trick of Satan. Satan has got you out there spending all of this time, all of this energy, doing all of this and doing all of that, but it's not helping you live. Huh? Jesus gave Nicodemus the formula for life. He told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Born again above what? Water. And if you don't follow that plan, you can't live, right? There's no life. No life outside of that. So you had to pull, you had to ask the Lord to remove the blindness from off of my eyes. Help me to clearly hear what is going on. Huh? Help me to clearly understand what's going on around me. I don't want to engage in things that are not going to help me live. I don't want to spend my days in idleness. Huh? Come on, a bunch of wasted energy. You know, you walking up and down the street parading and marching and boom, 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 sitting back drinking, laughing. That's wasting time. It's wasting precious time. We don't have much time here on earth. All of our days, we got to spend them in wisdom. Huh? Why? Because these days are numbered. Huh? Y'all understand that? These days are numbered. They're with Jesus. One day he's going to call and we're going to have to give an answer. But what we have done in this body, whether it is good or bad, we're going to have to answer for what we have done, right? That's the truth. Devil don't want you to realize that. Devil just wants you to just go by. And just, as that songwriter say, just sit on the dock of the bay. Huh? Just let time just roll on the way. Huh? Come on! Huh? There's no life in sitting on the dock. Y'all understand that? There's no life in doing that. There's no life sitting on the beach. Huh? Watching the waves and watching the ocean. Huh? It sounds good. Feels good on the skin. But what about the soul? Huh? What about the soul? Huh? Do you realize all of these activities are not taking care of the soul? When Jesus came to the earth, he was focused on the soul. Everybody understand that? That's what Luke 19 and 10 is talking about. It is talking about someone that is focused on the condition of the soul. Jesus calls the soul lost. Huh? Come on, if you don't have Jesus, you're lost. Huh? You do not have Jesus, you're lost. I don't care how much you read the Bible. I don't care how much you come to church. I don't know how care how much you know about Jesus. If you do not have Jesus living down on the inside of you, you are lost. You're right where the devil wants you at. You're right where the devil is striving to keep you at. Why? Because he does not want you to be found by Jesus. He does not want you to be saved by Jesus. That's true. He said, I'm coming to seek.
Yeah.
And to save
that
which was lost.
Yes,
huh? Yes, come on, everybody understand that?
Yes, yes.
That's what the Lord has come to do. Come on, Genesis 3, started at verse number 8.
Uh-huh. And it says that they heard the voice of the Lord.
Come on.
Walking in the
it's something inside of you that don't want to hear Jesus' voice. Yes. Huh? Remember when they ate that fruit,
right.
Their eyes were open. And they knew that they were naked.
Yeah.
And the scripture said they tried to use fig leaves. Huh? The fig leaves seem adequate. Huh? To the natural man, it seems sufficient. Huh? But to a righteous God, he was still saying something is wrong with you. Huh? Come on, saints. Y'all understand that? Everybody's trying to find a way to do this thing outside of the way Jesus says for it to be done. People will sit up in church and argue and fuss about little different doctrinal differences, huh? Arguing about things that they know not of, huh? Come on, I told you that, and I stand flat-footed and say that we are not the only place in the city of Philadelphia where you can be saved, huh? There are other households of faith that are out there where people are still doing it the way Jesus says for it to be done. Where people are humbling themselves and they're crying out to Jesus and they're waiting. They're coming before Jesus because they desire to be saved. Now, people may say, well, when they talk about your work, they don't like your work because you believe in this. They don't like your work because you believe in that. We don't have time. We don't have time to argue about things that do not have anything to do with your soul. Huh? The fact is, the soul has to be born again. Born of both water and spirit. That's all we need to focus on. You need to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or for the removal of sin. When you come up out that water, you need to walk in the newness of life. You need to reckon yourself dead to sin. Huh? You need to yield yourself as an instrument, as a tool to be used by throne of grace. You need to humble yourself and ask the Lord Jesus, be merciful. Merciful on who's me, a sinner. Somebody that was born in sin. Be merciful to me, right? You need to cry out to Jesus. You need to open up your mouth. And you need to cry out to Jesus. You need to open up your mouth and you need to call Jesus by his name. You got to realize the gift that I want is not of the earth. This is a heavenly gift. Huh? Holy Ghost is a heavenly gift. It is not of the earth. Huh? It is a heavenly gift. It is as though the heavens have come down and sat where you are. Huh? Scripture says he's allowed us to sit in heavenly places. Don't you realize every time we come in here and call on Jesus, we call it tarrying services. Because what are we saying? We're waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting to be endued with power from on high. Not on the earth. I'm looking for some on high power. Power that is above where I am. Power that is above how I think. Power that is above how I behave myself. I need power from on high, right? Don't you accept no substitute. This is why we get down here and we tell you, open up your mouth. Open your mouth up and call Jesus. Open your mouth up and call Jesus. Why are you doing that, Elder Scudder? Because that's what they did on the day of Pentecost. Who said they were in that upper room for 10 days? Huh? 10 days waiting in prayer and supplication. Supplication is the act of beseeching, the act of begging. Huh? Come on. I know some people say, well, just get down here and say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah is not a beg. Hallelujah is not a beseeching. Hallelujah is a praise. Huh? But you want something inside of you as a reason to praise Jesus. You ain't got no Holy Ghost inside of you. You have no reason to praise Jesus. Huh? Unless you go beyond your condition and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for breath. Huh? Come on. You can say that. Lord Jesus, I thank you for breath. And with the breath I have, I'm going to praise you. Huh? See, if that's your attitude when you get down there and you say hallelujah, the Lord will honor that. But you can't say hallelujah as a substitute for salvation. Huh? Come on. Everybody understand that? You cannot say hallelujah as a substitute for salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name, right? You've got to call on the name. If you want to be saved, you got to call on the name, right? That's true. You got to call on that name. You got to discipline your mind. I got to say Jesus. Huh? That's if you want to be saved. Now everybody don't want to be saved. Everybody don't want this salvation. There were people that were with Jesus and felt his presence. They actually heard the voice of God himself in their ears. They actually felt the touch of Jesus. There were people bumping up against him and touching him and walking with him, but they didn't want what Jesus had to offer. Huh? Therefore, when Jesus stopped doing what they wanted him to do, and he told them what it was going to take in order for them to inherit eternal life. Huh? Blessed is the man. Huh? Huh? That doesn't walk in that counsel of the ungodly. What is that blessed man? The peacemaker. Huh? Those that mourn. Huh? Those that keep the agreements with one another. Jesus started laying down all of these things that were going to be required in order for you to get life. Scripture said when they heard his teaching, this thing was too hard for them. Brother said they turned their back on Jesus and walked no more with him. But then he looked at that intimate group and said, are you too going to walk away from me? Huh? Peter said, where are we going to go at? Huh? You've given us the word of life. Huh? When I hear your voice, Jesus, I'm not just hearing a man speak. I'm hearing life. Huh? Life is entering into my ears. That's why the Lord says, if any man hear my voice, huh? The voice of life. If any man hear my voice and open up the door, Jesus said, I will come into him and sup with him, right? and he with me. You got to go beyond. You got to go beyond doing this stuff on the surface. You got to humble yourself before Jesus. You got to humble yourself. You got to see the Lord in your mind. See, I can't see Jesus. Well, you got to think about the cross. You got to let your mind go all the way back to where sin's price was paid. And you can listen to some people say, well, what you going to see Jesus on the cross for? He ain't on the cross no more. He got up out that grave. But you don't understand. I have to take my mind back to where Jesus suffered, bled, and died. Died for who? For me. That I can understand what does it mean for Stephen to be redeemed. Huh? I wasn't redeemed with silver and gold. Huh? I wasn't redeemed with these traditional behaviors or habits. I was redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Huh? I got a picture of Jesus in my mind. I'm on that cross. Suffering for who? For me. Huh? I got to see that Jesus didn't get up there and die. He suffered. He bled. And then he died, right? Went through a process just to redeem me. So that's why we tell you, see Jesus on the cross. I guarantee you, when you really get into it, you're going to realize Satan is going to try to block your brain. Huh? I can remember when I was tearing for the Holy Ghost. I can remember that devil had him. I was able to picture a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it felt like I was in the woods. And these woods were thick. And I could not see Jesus. And I kept trying my best to get to him, and I was running. And I was running, 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 running. And it seemed like all the tree branches was hitting me all in the face. And I was just calling Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I had to get out of the tradition. I had to get out of the habit of just saying his name and then really putting my confidence, really putting my trust in that name to remove all of the blockages. Everybody understand what I just said? You need to put your trust in the name to remove all the blockages, all the hindrances, so that the Lord can let you break free. Huh? One thing was true. When I came through, it was as the Lord moved all the branches out the way. And I thank the Lord, I saw an image. I saw an image laid out right before me. Huh? An image of a one that was suffering. And it was as though he had his hand stretched out towards me. All I had to do was just reach out. Huh? I let my voice be my hand. I said, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. In other words, I want you to touch me. I want you to grab hold of me. I called him like everything, nothing else mattered to me. I forgot about everybody around me. And I put all of my focus on Jesus. Then all of a sudden, the Lord loosed me. He freed my hand. He freed my tongue. My praise just started coming out. My tongue was loose. Started magnifying Jesus. Somebody say, what you were saying? All I know is praise was on the inside. And something was coming out of my tongue. But all that was going on the inside was praise. Huh? I just wanted to let the Lord know how much I appreciated him. I wanted to let the Lord know how much I loved him. How much I thanked him for what he had done for me. What did he do for me? He got up on that cross. He suffered, bled, and died for me. And I wanted him to know, Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, I don't deserve what you did for me. But I thank you so much for looking beyond my fault and seeing my need, right? That's truth. Cried out to the Lord. The Lord blessed my soul. Fill me with the presence of the Holy Ghost. But I learned that day and with time that name is still the most important thing. Why? Because I need salvation. Huh? Salvation is not in my tongue. Huh? Get down there and start talking. And you ain't calling no Jesus. Remember, salvation is not in the tongue. Huh? Tongues is a result of the salvation. Huh? You get in the car. You don't get in the car and the car just starts. Now technology may do that. But I'm talking about You got to do something.
Yes, you do.
When you get in that car, you got to put that key in there. You got to turn the ignition.
Huh?
Well, that's what you're doing when you're getting down on your knees.
Yes, Lord.
You got to put that key in your brain. What is the key? The key is the name. You got to get that name down inside of you. And you got to turn. You got to keep on cranking. Huh? Cranking that key until your mind get the message. Huh? Until you get out of yourself. Huh? Till you forget about yourself and everything around about you. Then every now and then you'll feel a little jerk. You say, oh, Jesus is right there. Huh? But you got to remember, the Lord don't want you to get caught up in that jerk. He wants you to give glory to his name. Huh? Give the honor and the praise to his name. His name is the force. Huh? His name is the energy. Huh? Don't you realize that's how you come up out that water? Walking in the newness of life is all because of the name. That's why you receive the Holy Ghost with quickening power, with tongues, unknown tongues, as Jesus gives the utterance. It's all because of the name, right?
Hallelujah.
It's all because of the name. God has highly exalted him. Huh? And given him a what?
Thank you, Jesus.
See, I get nervous.
Jesus.
I get nervous.
Jesus.
I hear people say that. First, giving honor to God. God is this. Nobody's greater than God. God is this. See, that lets me know I'm concerned. Because that means you never put the key in the ignition. Huh? Huh? You're talking right. You're talking about who Jesus is, but Jesus didn't highly exalt his title. Everybody understand that? He didn't highly exalt God. He highly exalted his name. Who are we? We are people of the name. It is because of the name of Jesus. That's what put quickening power inside my soul. That's what loosed my tongue. A member of my body I could not control. It was because of the name, right? That's true. That's what happened when that man was at the gate called Beautiful. Huh? He could have got up and said, you know, this happened and that happened. And this happened and that happened. But I believe he started leaping and praising. Because he felt the power of the name. Huh? Come on, saints. People going to hate you. Why? Because you stand for the name. Huh? You go in these conversations. You go have a conversation with the Jehovah's Witness. And you keep saying God this and God that. They're going to agree everything what you say. Jehovah's Witness is going to say, man, you talking my kind of talk. God this, God that, God this and God that. Jehovah's Witness is like, yeah, man, that's right. That's right. And but Jehovah's Witness got enough sense that they're going to have to let you know who the name of that God is. If you keep going, God this, God that, God this, the whole witness is going to say, yeah, God this. Praise Jehovah. Huh? Good old Jehovah God. Huh? But the difference between me and that Jehovah's Witness is I'm a person for the name. When the Jehovah's Witness come up to me and say, oh, how you doing, sir? I'm doing fine. Yeah, God is good. I say, yes, Jesus is good. Jehovah's Witness say, Jesus is good. I say, yep, yes, he is. Huh? Say, oh, yeah, he's doing all these horrible things that are going on in the earth. Aren't you so sick and tired of it? I say, yes, sin is horrible. But I thank Jesus. He delivered me from sin. I thank Jesus. He is my Savior. He is my refuge. He is my strong tower. Jesus is my mighty God. In my time of trouble, I call on the name of Jesus to get strength just to go through. We talked about the shadow of death last week. Walking down that valley. It is the name that keeps you safe. Huh? Don't you devalue the name. It is the name that keeps you. You ain't got no name. You ain't got nothing to keep you. You don't have nothing to control. To safeguard you. From that stuff that's going on around your life. Huh? These attacks are real. How about I tell you, you can't play with no Holy Ghost. You better make sure you had the Holy Ghost. Because these attacks are real. When that devil come after you, he coming after you with vengeance. Huh? He mean to get your soul and destroy you. Huh? That's why you need the name. Huh? That devil can't stand that name. I'm trying to tell you the name works. Huh? The name works. Devil cannot stand that name. But you have to go up under that name with some humility. Huh? You gotta say, Lord Jesus, let your name be like the wings of that chicken. Huh? Y'all know that chicken, that hen? I gave y'all that illustration when we were talking about trust in the Bible study. Help you to better understand the word trust. When that them chicks run up under that wing of that mother hen for safety and protection, we are no different than them baby chicks. When that devil is attacking us, we are like those baby chicks. We need to run up under the wings of Jesus. Huh? Say, Jesus, safeguard me. Huh? Jesus, I'm not strong enough to fight this devil. I need your divine help. Huh? I need your authority to speak against this stuff, Jesus, right?
Jesus.
That's true.
Yes, Lord.
You need the Lord to be your power.
Jesus.
You need Jesus to be your authority.
Jesus.
Huh?
Thank you, Jesus.
John and Peter didn't say, by our authority. Huh? They said, but we give all the glory to the name. Say, this is that Prince of Life. Everybody understand that? Jesus, that Prince of Life that the people rejected. Huh? Come on. Jesus, all he did is come to give you life. Huh? Come on, y'all understand that? All right, one brother talk about that. He said, he had to think about that thing. He said, and I'm taking something that don't belong to the devil. Do y'all realize the breath in your body, it don't belong to Satan? Jesus gave you that breath. He's the one that's keeping you with that breath day in and day out. That's not Satan's to give you. Now you can go party, you can go dance, you can go sing sinful stuff, but you're taking something that don't belong to you and something that don't belong to Satan to give glory and honor to a devil that cannot help you. Huh? A devil that do not care about you.
Help us, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
At least take what belongs to Jesus and give him praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
With every breath you have.
That's it. Thank you.
He said, well, it's going to pass out. It don't belong to you.
Jesus.
The breath don't belong to you. Huh? Say, I just got, I can lift up my hands. The activities of your limbs, it don't belong to you. Jesus gave you all of this. Jesus gave you all of this. So when somebody tell you, get on your knees and lift up your hands, lift my hands up and do what? Call Jesus. Lift up your hands and call Jesus. Get out of yourself and do what you're told to do. Huh? Somebody's trying to help your mind. Somebody's got a mind to care about the real you. Your soul. Isn't that something? You could be in a place where somebody going around and shaking you and throwing you all down in the ground. And we give you space and time. Space and time to focus on Jesus for yourself. And you can use that time and scratch. You can use that time to yawn. You can use that time to be thinking about all the problems of your life. Huh? Or you can humble yourself and let the Lord know, Jesus, I'm up under attack. I mean, be sincere. Lord said he desires truth from the evil part, don't he? So therefore, be honest with the Lord. Lord Jesus, I'm under attack. Huh? The devil is attacking me. Huh? Come on! Don't hold back. The devil is attacking me. I need your help, Jesus. I need you to stand up in my life like a natural man. I need you to move with that same power, that same authority that Moses had when them children walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. That was some authority, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
That was some authority that made the water go up. Made the water go up and then dried the earth for them to walk across on dry ground. And they heard the vengeance. You heard, they heard the vengeance of the ocean. The ocean didn't become silent. The ocean was still raging. But the breath of God himself kept the water up. See, them folk moved through that water with fear. I'm trying to tell you how the devil will check your mind, though. Them folk moved through the water with fear. Got on the other side and they saw Jesus bring the same water down and destroy their enemies. And didn't leave their bodies in the water. He made the water spit the bodies out. Here the beaches that we lay up on relaxing became a cemetery. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Them folk couldn't even enjoy the sand because the stench of death. Y'all understand that? The stench of death filled the shore with all of the Egyptian army and all of their horses and their chariots. And the Lord said, let this be a memorial to you. Huh? In other words, don't forget. Huh? Don't forget.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
See how the devil, if you're not careful, will snatch that fear out of you. Moses went up in the mountain to get the word of the Lord. And the people said, Moses gone too long. Huh? They called on Aaron. They said, Aaron, we need something to praise. We need a God that we're familiar with. Huh? A God of death. Huh? Not a God of life, a God of death. Huh? Mold them. Make them. Aaron said, bring me all your jewelry. Bring me all the gold, the jewelry, the bracelet, all of it. Put it in the heat. Huh? And Aaron took the time and molded that thing. He sculpted that thing. Huh? And the people started dancing around. First, they ate the Lord's food. They ate the Lord's food. They sat down and ate the Lord's food. And then they rose up and began to play. Dancing around that camp. Huh? And started behaving like the thing that they saw in Egypt that they had admired. Huh? They started dancing like the Egyptians. Not only did they start dancing, the women started taking off their clothes. Huh? Moving like the Egyptian women. Huh? Come on, deep. We got to be serious about this thing. This is not to play games with, is it? Huh? See, that devil will have you thinking that the world is having fun. Right. When that world ain't doing nothing but setting you up for death. Right. Huh? Why? Because Jesus sees it all. Huh? He sees it all. Huh? And he's going to pour out his wrath. Huh? He's going to pour out his wrath on it. Moses came down. And Moses took the Lord's word. Moses got angry. Moses had no right to take the Lord's word and throw it. But he got angry. He got angry. That's why you got to be careful about these people. Elder Scudder. Huh? I'm talking to me. Because I'm your pastor. I got to be careful about you. Huh? Because I don't need you to make me operate in myself. Huh? Because even though you may not want to do the word, the Lord's word still got to be respected. Huh? Come on, is that true? The Lord's word still has to be respected. Moses took that word and used it. Huh? In a disrespectful manner. Huh? Oh, yes, he did. He didn't honor the Lord's word. Lord knew how to deal with them people. Huh? But here go Moses, not wanting the Lord to pull out his wrath. Be merciful, Jesus. Be merciful, Jesus. Not just once, but over and over and over again. So much so that Moses let them very people cause him to lose his opportunity. Everybody understand that? He kept asking the Lord, be merciful, be merciful, be merciful, be merciful. But the same group of people caused him to lose his opportunity. Because the Lord gave him word. Huh? And he did not do what? Respect. Everybody understand that? You got to respect the Lord's word, right?
Thank you.
You got to respect what Jesus is saying to you. Even though we know that this word has power, I still have to respect it. I still have to give it honor that it is due. Lord, blessed them folk. Lord opened up the earth. Several of them did not want to believe. And they died. Earth swallowed their bodies up. Lord, the Lord had already given them word. If you're going to be on the Lord's side. Is that the truth? Come on, choose. If you're going to be on the Lord's side, come stand with Jesus. Y'all understand this? When you're coming into the church, that's all you're saying is, Lord, I want to be on your side, right? I want to stand with you, right? That's all you're saying. That's all you're saying is I want to stand with you. I don't have time to fight other households of faith. All I'm doing is trying to encourage the people, stand with Jesus. Stand with Jesus. Don't get so caught up in trying to argue with Satan, because you're going to lose that argument. Everybody understand that? You are going to lose that argument. The devil has nothing to lose. He's on his way to hell anyway. It is you whose life stands at jeopardy. That's why we have to be so cautious about that. Come on, I'm done. Wait, did y'all give me Genesis 8? I got sidetracked. Genesis 8, when they heard the voice.
And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves.
This is you. This is me.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord's word come forth, we do our best to try to avoid what Jesus is saying to us.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's calling us into repentance. We know he's calling us to change. Huh? We know he's calling us to turn from our wicked ways. Huh? And our ungodly thoughts. Huh? You know Jesus calling you to come and serve him in the beauty of holiness. You know what Jesus is calling you to. You can clearly hear his voice. Huh? No different than Adam and Eve. Huh? You're just like your mama and your daddy. When Jesus speak, what do? You try to run. Huh? You like that movie, Run, Forrest. Run. Run as hard as you can, right? But you don't realize the voice of Jesus, it don't need no feet. Huh? It don't need no car to travel. Y'all understand that? Huh? And well, that one song said, I can feel him. I can hear him in the wind. Y'all understand that? Lord Jesus know how to get right into your mind. Huh? You can't take sleep medicine. You can't drink no warm milk. Huh? You still know how to get into your mind. Lord, get all up in your dreams. You be tossing and turning. Wondering, what is it? Huh? What did I do, Lord Jesus? Lord said, you know what you did. Huh? Turn from your wicked ways. Huh? Do what I told you to do. Huh? Be obedient to my word, right?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Be obedient to my word. Don't run. Don't run like your mom and your daddy. Huh? They ran from the Lord's word. But one thing is true. The Lord's word find you right out. Right where you trying to hide. Huh? Huh? Called Adam by his name. Huh? Called you by your name. And asked you, where are you? You in a place you have no business being. You in a place that is not called by his name. You're doing things that are not in agreement with his word. And only you can make a choice and decision to say, today I stop. Huh? Today is the day that I stop. What are you going to start doing? I'm going to lay down the old and I'm going to pick up the new. Huh? I'm going to put off the old and I'm going to put on the new. New way of thinking. New way of living. Huh? Come on, that's true, saints. You got to do this. You got to put off the old man and put on the new man that is renewed in holiness, right? Got to walk upright. Starts off with repentance. Turning from your wicked ways. Having a mind to go down in the water. For what reason? Huh? Why are you going down in the water? Because I'm trying to make this one happy. I just want somebody to celebrate that. Nah, man. Nah, woman. You got to go down in the water for the remission of sin. You got to be buried with Jesus. You got to take on his death, his burial, and his resurrection, right? Got to come up out that water walking in the newness of life. You got to identify who your God is. Huh? Come on, God has a name. You got to identify who your God is. Go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sin, I got to get down at the altar and I got to open up my mouth and I got to call on Jesus. Lord said, whatever you want out of heaven, you got to ask in what? My name. Right? Ask and you shall do what? Seek and you shall do what? Knock and the door or the way will be. You have to do that thing. So we're grateful and glad. Trust I've got something out the word. I intend to go.